Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago at 303 Wacker. And we're here till 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. And coming up a little bit later on, we got all of our regular Friday features. We're going to talk about weird flavored food, including deep dish pizza, potato chips, and how times have changed in the last 50 years. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Phone lines are open right now. Text lines are open right now. And if you would like to get in here, if you have any sports memorabilia that you're wondering about, whether it's worth anything, Michael Osaki is here from Baseball in the Attic, and he is an appraiser and a speaker. He contributes to Parade Magazine. And if you describe it to us, he can help you out as to what it's worth. Baseballintheattic.com is the website. So call now or text now at 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Michael to the show. Michael, welcome back.
Nick, it's great to be here on your new beautiful studio.
Yeah, it's beautiful up here, man. I really like it. I'm happy. This is the studio that not a lot of people use. This one, I'm pretty much the only one that uses it. Everybody uses Studio A, which has that really beautiful view of the lakefront. But I like this studio. I feel more at home in here.
Well, staring outside, I can see your old studio right here, Chicago Tribune. It's all getting knocked down and renovated. And
yeah, well, I mean, the building has been sold, and they're changing everything over, and yeah, lots of history in that building, and but we're going to make history here. So
that's right.
Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and Baseball in the Attic and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, I got started in 1997. My grandfather got me a shoebox full of old baseball cards,
right.
And that's kind of how it started. And it's been my passion, and I am a certified vintage sports card and memorabilia appraiser. So I travel the country. I spend a lot of my time on the road, even though Chicago is home. And I help people assess what they have for insurance purposes or estate planning or if they want to sell. And I also work with some professional athletes and some teams. I write for Parade Magazine, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
I speak. So I kind of do multiple different things, but it's all kind of related to vintage sports, and I just love it.
Right. Well, it's really cool. And you got yourself a collection, obviously.
I do.
Yeah. And how does one become an appraiser?
Yeah, many, many years of studying, seeing things in the flesh, so to speak. I have to have peers that look over me, and I have to be within a certain standard deviation when it comes to pricing, according to my peers. There's just so much that goes. I have to take a test every year. I have to speak to certain organizations.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot that goes into it.
Right. Well, and you've been doing it for a while now. And tell everybody about Baseball in the Attic. What can they find when they go there?
Yeah, so I have a new website as of about last 12 months, and it's interesting. So there's some pictures of me with different athletes I've met over time. My favorite picture is of me and Walter Payton circa 1994.
Yeah.
He was really the first athlete that I ever met, and he was super nice. But also on there are links to some Parade Magazine articles. A lot of them are helpful to people at home that they can self-appraise after they read an article or two. Some of it's educational. Some of it's a weird story. A guy in Florida, Babe Ruth baseball, fell on top of his head.
Yeah.
It kind of runs the gamut.
Okay. All right. So that's baseballintheattic.com. And you are obviously a professional appraiser. And people want to call in or text in to describe the sports memorabilia items that they have. You'll try to help them out. Again, it's easier if you can actually see the item, but you can give them like a ballpark figure about, you know, what it's worth.
Yes, of course.
We were talking about a story from earlier this week. I don't know if you read about it, but there was this 5-year-old kid who wanted a pocket schedule from a baseball team, and he and his family decided that they would write to all of the Major League Baseball teams requesting for pocket schedules, and all of the teams sent him schedules. They sent him more stuff. They, like Fenway, the Red Sox sent him like a poster, not only the pocket schedules, some magnets, and a bag of dirt from Fenway. So they really went out of their way, and so that was something that I thought maybe would be really cool to talk about. Like, this kid got all, now he's obsessed with it. He's got all the schedules except for the only team that didn't send him anything. Yankees,
of course.
So that's not that's not a shocker at all.
It's typical. But yeah, I think I read the story. I think he's from Glenview.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And you know, it's really nice to hear stories like that, because kids these days, as they grow up, they play with their iPhone, they play video games. Sports is kind of waning on kids, and so it's good to see their interest. I actually, a couple decades ago, would send away to baseball clubs and ask for autographs.
Yeah.
And I would barely get any response.
Yeah.
So I think if you do what he did and ask for a pocket schedule as opposed to an autograph, you're likely going to have a high response rate. And
yeah.
It is good that all the organizations, with the exception of the Yankees,
yeah.
sent them something. That's terrific.
It's really nice, man. I thought it was a really wonderful story. And the kid now he made a chart, you know, and he's tracking what games start when and what time and all that stuff. He's really taken a huge interest in it. And as a result, not just a fan of the local teams, but now, you know, following all the teams in the major leagues, and his dad is helping him out and everything. I love this story. I just think it's a great story. And it's really nice that you know, with the exception of the Yankees, that everybody responded to it. That's a really sweet thing. And it got the kid. Now the kid's really into baseball, which is awesome.
This kid will be the next Theo Epstein.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we've got some people who are calling in. Before we do that, though, there's a rare 52 Mickey Mantle card that was insured for $12 million. Mm. What's going on with that story?
Yeah, that's in Colorado, Denver, and a retired lawyer bought this card in 1996.
Yeah,
and it's been graded by the leading third party for authentication, PSA, and it's graded a gem in 10. So cards are graded on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being it's horrible, and 10 being perfect. And there are only 3 cards graded a 10. So in the entire world. There are a lot of Mickey Mantle rookie cards out there, but only 3 of it as great at a 10. And there hasn't been a 10 that sold in decades. And so this man, he bought it for $120,000 in 1996.
Wow.
And it's on display for a couple days in a museum in Denver. And he insured it, I think, for $12
million. $12 million is what it says here. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's quite a return on investment.
Yeah.
Now, and if that thing were to sell, last year a Mickey Mantle in a 9 sold for $2.8 million. And when I think about a multiple, it's usually about a 4 to 5 multiple. And so if I take $2.8 million times 4 or 5, that's what? It's between $11 and $14 million. So... yeah, I think $12 million is probably a good number.
That's wow, that's incredible. That really is incredible. And what are some of the other, like the Holy Grail? What we've talked about this before. What are some of the other like Holy Grail cards that are out there that people would love to have?
Yeah, the true Holy Grail is the T206 tobacco card, Honus Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think that it's so valuable because he was a Hall of Famer. That's not the reason why. What happened was American Tobacco Company that produced these cards, when Honus found out that his image was being inserted into packages of tobacco, don't forget back then he was not getting paid. Nobody was getting paid.
Right.
And he did not want the kids to think of Honus as smoking and cigarettes. He thought cigarettes were bad. And so he called up American Tobacco Company and said, take my image out of your set. And they agreed to do so, but they said... just so you know, we've already manufactured and distributed a lot of your cards.
Yeah.
And they're already out and about. And he said, well, okay. I mean, there's nothing I can do.
So that's another thing that when we talk about this all the time, some of the cards that are worth a lot of money are either mistakes or there weren't many of them made. And this is one of the cases. This is like there's an interesting, really interesting story behind that, and it really has nothing to do with the baseball player itself.
That's right. And there's only about 65 known T206 Honus Wagner cards. They range in value on the low end, meaning it's been outside for 100 years in the snow and the rain. Semi trucks are running it over every day. That card will sell for $200,000,
even in that kind of condition.
Yeah.
Wow.
All the way up to about $3 million.
Wow.
Now, when it comes, so those are like the holy grails for baseball cards. But when it comes to autographs, some like the rare, obscure, like if you think about for the Cubs, Ken Hubbs, he died tragically in a plane crash.
Right.
And so he was Rookie of the Year, then died. So his autograph is quite valuable. It's not the holy grail, but there are stories like that where
Yeah.
People pay a premium for an athlete that passed away at an early age.
Right, right. Well, there are always interesting stories behind these things. We've got some people on the line. If you guys want to jump in, Michael will help you out. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. If you have any sports memorabilia and you're wondering how much it's worth, we can kind of help you out in that department. We'll take a call or two before we break for the news. Here is Tim on WGN. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. I got a 1963 Ernie Banks autographed Little League baseball, and I also have a Brooks Robinson HOF 125th anniversary logo on a baseball I won from the White Sox.
Okay, so the White Sox souvenir ball that's unsigned is about $10. The sign-
No, it's not unsigned. It's signed by Brooks Robinson HOF. It has the 125th anniversary Major League Baseball logo on it.
Oh.
And I won it from a raffle with the White Sox.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Brooks Robinson, Hall of Famer. That ball is about $50. The Ernie Banks is minimum $100. It could be worth more depending upon if he wrote an inscription. Like if he wrote Rookie of the Year or Hall of Fame, something.
No, he just autographed it. There's a Little League Baseball. He came out to Park Forest for baseball one day, and he autographed it, Ernie Banks, 1963. Right. That's what he wrote on the ball.
That's cool. Yeah, on a Little League ball, about $100.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, guys.
Take care, man.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay,
thanks.
There's Tim, and we got some phone lines open. We got some texts coming in, and Michael is here to help you out. 312-981-7200. Michael will be here till 2, so if you have any sports memorabilia lying around or baseball cards or any of that kind of stuff, 312-981-7200 for talk or text, and Michael will help you out. We're going to take a break here for the news coming up, and then more with Michael Osaki after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on a Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies and You Big Dummy, all of our regular Friday features. And we're going to talk about weird flavored food items because deep dish pizza potato chips are on the way, whether you want them or not. And we'll talk about the way life has changed over the past 50 years in general and in specifics. So that's happening. But right now, my guest is Michael Osaki. He is from Baseball in the Attic. He's a sports memorabilia appraiser, a speaker. He contributes to Parade magazine. We'll talk a little bit about that and some of the stuff that he's written for Parade recently. But we also have our phone lines and text lines open. If you have some sports memorabilia and you've been wondering what it's worth, Michael's a professional appraiser and he can help you out. Just call us up, tell us what the item is, describe it, and we'll give you like a ballpark figure. So the phone lines are open and the text lines are open right now at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, Michael.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. We have an interesting text here. When you come in here, and it's always fun to have you on, and you always help the listeners out and stuff, but I always love when listeners call in or text in with weird stuff, because there's always like some really, and we've had some very unusual items described to us here.
My very first show with you many, many years ago, I don't know if you recall, guy calls up, says, I have Joe Garagiola's jockstrap. How much is that worth?
See, now that's awesome. How do you appraise that?
I had so many questions.
Yeah. How did you get his jockstrap?
Exactly.
What were the circumstances?
Right.
Where you ended up with Joe Garagiola's jockstrap?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
amazing.
Here's a couple right here. Brian says, I have two weird items, and I'm not even sure if they're worth anything. I have an inflatable Dick Butkus toy that's 3 feet tall from the early 70s. I don't think that's worth anything, but it is cool. It's an inflatable Dick Butkus. It's 3 feet tall.
Wow. Okay.
And then I also have, this is the one right here. I also have a set of silverware from Brett Favre's restaurant still wrapped in the napkin.
My first question is, a paper napkin? Is this a nice napkin?
I would imagine it's a nice. I would imagine linen. That would be my guess. Mm. From Brett Favre's restaurant. So he swiped some silverware from Brett Favre's restaurant.
Right.
Okay. I don't think that's worth anything.
Yeah. No.
Just a nice little memory from the time you spent at Brett Favre's restaurant.
That's right.
All right. Let's see. Here is Kevin on WGN. Hey, Kevin.
Yes. I bought a trunk that somebody actually had in their attic. I bought the whole trunk. I didn't know what was in it. When I got it home, there's a big stack of newspapers, newspaper sections from the early 1900s and stuff. And stacked in between the newspapers were two programs from the 1919 Black Sox, both games they were playing, the Tigers, the scorecards in the middle, and it's got Shoeless Joe Jackson and Buck Weaver and Ty Cobb.
Wow.
And one of the scorecards is filled out from the game, the other one isn't. And all the newspapers were from the 1908-1909 Cubs team pictures describing all the games and everything, and all the Jack Johnson fights.
Wow.
That's quite a collection you found up in an attic in the trunk. In fact, as, of course, as you know, my website is Baseball in the Attic. People are still finding things, but you could have quite a find. I mean, you could have at least maybe $1,000 worth of paper items, and usually paper items don't command a lot of money. But in this particular case, it's very hard to find really anything from the early 1900s as it relates to Cubs, Sox, World Series, and especially the Black Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow.
Yeah. That's. I think you got some good stuff there, Kevin.
And one other thing I have is I found at an estate sale a Mickey Mantle bat. You still there?
Yep.
Oh, Mickey Mantle bat. It's the handle's cracked on it. It's genuine. It's a Louisville Slugger. It's genuine Mickey Mantle, and it says Northeastern on top, and the butt of the handle is marked K-55.
Okay. That's probably a store model bat, not a game used bat or a game issued bat to him. But if you send me a photo via email or text, I'll be able to tell you instantaneously if it was actually game used, game issued, or if you just went to a store and bought it.
Right,
if
it's
a
store model bat, K-55 on the handle was like his early game used bat.
Okay. Well, Kevin, take a picture of it, and you can send it off. Now, where can people send this stuff? I mean, because it's better if you actually do see it. I mean, we can give you a pretty good idea of what these things are worth, but it's better always if you see it.
That's right. So what you can do is email me, michael@baseballintheattic.com. You can text it to 312-379-9090. Or if you go to my website, there's a contact us form. You can just fill it out with your information, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for the call, Kevin. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 773 area code has a question. It says your guest has had to take a test to keep his certification. What are some of the questions that you're asked or tasks that you're asked to do?
Yeah, so the first question is, how much is Joe Garagiola's jockstrap worth? I'm certified by ISA, International Society of Appraisers. They're actually located just down the street, a block away from here on Wacker Drive.
Is that right?
And they certify not just someone like myself that's in sports, but all appraisers, art, entertainment, you name it. There's thousands of certified appraisers across the world, mm-hmm. but the headquarters is located, luckily, right here
right down the street
in Chicago. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. All right, let's see if we can help anybody else out. Here is Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good.
I got a question. I've got, you know, hundreds, thousands of baseball, football, hockey cards, and I've never had any of them graded. How does one go about having them graded? Do you send them somewhere? Do you bring them somewhere and watch them grade them? I've always been kind of worrisome that if I ship them off, I'll get different cards in return, or what's a good grading company you recommend?
Yeah, so there are a couple third-party, in my opinion, qualified third-party grading companies, such as PSA, which is located in California. There's Beckett in Texas, and there's SGC, which is located in Florida. A lot of times you have to send away. You put your cards in the mail and send away, and they'll grade them and return them to you.
And these are reputable people, right?
Yes. And these companies have been around forever.
Yeah.
But you always want to make sure, if you do choose to send away your cards, that it makes sense from a financial perspective to send them away. For instance, if you have a Jody Davis baseball card from 1987, it's probably not going to make sense to spend $15 to have it graded when the card's only worth maybe a dollar.
Right. A Jody Davis 87 card. Not an 84 card, an 87 card, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, okay. But those are some of the places, Scott, and you know, Michael, these are all, you know, reputable people. They will send your cards back to you, and you'll get a pretty accurate grade.
Yeah, and these companies do not engage in bait and switch. You know, I do understand that's a concern.
Sure.
But, you know, don't worry with these companies.
All right. Okay, Scott?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, buddy, take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Before we get back to helping some people out, give me a rundown on a couple of things that you've written for Parade recently.
Yeah, so I've written several things for Parade. You know, I do some interviews. Whether it's Tom Ricketts, I see different people, and I write about their collections. One of the things that I'm working on actually right now, I appraise, and people always ask me, Michael, what's the most expensive thing you've appraised? And I appraise a complete Cracker Jack baseball card collection from 1915.
Wow.
And there are 176 cards in that set. Now, on a side note, I am speaking this coming Thursday at the Cracker Jack National Convention here in Chicago. But going back to this story here.
There's a Cracker Jack National Convention?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
What happens at that?
So
people just eat Cracker Jack and...
So I don't know because I've never actually
attended. Been
but I'm speaking at this event, and it's in Elmhurst or Downers Grove this coming Thursday. And it's basically people from all over the country, and they've been affiliated with the Cracker Jack Convention for decades. They come. They do room-to-room selling. So people will bring all their Cracker Jack wares, you know, things that they found inside Cracker Jacks over many decades.
Yeah.
And you can go from their hotel room buying and selling. And there's like 100 different rooms that are engaged in this. So
wow.
I'm kind of curious to see how this all plans out.
So you're gonna speak there, but are you going to write about it for Parade? About your experience at the Cracker
Jack? I'm going to, yeah.
Okay, cool. Also, you did write a piece about that was about what you need to know about appraising collectibles that you wrote in Parade. And what were some of the points on that?
Yeah, so when it comes to cards, it's really about condition. How sharp are the corners? What does the centering look like? Are there any print defects? Is it off-centered? Is there any paper loss? Back in the early 1900s, the way that people would store their cards is they would glue them into a scrapbook, and then they would hide the scrapbook somewhere in their house. If, God forbid, somebody was to break in, that scrapbook wouldn't be found. And so today, when I see old cards, especially tobacco cards, they may be glued into a scrapbook, but I know if I try and remove the cards, the whole back is going to fall off.
Right,
so that affects value as well.
Right. Okay. Just be aware of what your stuff looks like as well. And let's talk with Kathy on WGN. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have a videotape of the 1984 Cubs cruise, the Cubs Caribbean cruise. And so they hired a videographer, and he spent the week on the ship taking candid shots of the cruise and the guests and the players and all of that. Is it worth anything?
It's only worth something if Nick was on that cruise.
Right.
I am.
But if not, you know, that would be something. That would be interesting for like a historical society, but it wouldn't really have any monetary value.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the memories are worth it. You know, that's
even
sure.
Even though I'm in it, I'm in a hot tub.
Whoa, scandalous.
Well, now we're getting into a different territory, Kathy. But it's not really worth a lot of money except for the hot tub scene. That's the only thing that's worth. All right, Kathy, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Greg says, I used to live by Moose Scorin and his best friend Mickey Mantle. I got Moose to autograph a ball and Mickey to sign a piece of paper. Is that worth anything?
Yeah, Bill Moose Scorin. Wow,
yeah.
I've heard he could talk and tell and tell jokes.
I bet.
A Moose Scorin signed baseball is about $20.
Okay.
But a Mickey Mantle on a signed piece of paper, it could still be worth a couple $100.
Really, just on a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, there you go. All right. Why don't we take a quick break? And we'll come back. Michael Osaki is with us. We have some lines open if you want to jump in. If you have any sports memorabilia and you're wondering what it's worth, Michael is here. And it's 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text, 312-981-7200. And you can also check out baseballintheattic.com for more information. And we will be back to help you guys out right after we break here. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in downtown Chicago, 18 stories above lovely downtown Chicago. And we're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up. Get your requests ready for DJ Shagru. And we also have our regular Friday features, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. All coming up right here on WGN. Right now, Michael Osaki is with us. He is a professional appraiser, a sports memorabilia appraiser, speaker, and he contributes to Parade Magazine. His website is baseballintheattic.com. And Michael, we would like to thank Brian for sending a picture of the napkin wrapped of silverware. He texted it to Michael, and it's just basically it's silverware wrapped in a napkin. You can't even see the silverware.
Is it cloth or is it?
It's cloth.
It's cloth.
It's cloth. Yeah. So it's how do you appraise that? It looks like any kind of silverware that you can get at any restaurant. Unfortunately, he stole it from. That's pretty funny though. Thank you for sending that picture. That's pretty good. All right, let's go to the phones. And I understand that this is my old friend David Babbitt from the factory days. Hey, David.
Hey, Nick. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well.
Good, good. This is David Babbitt. I've acted with him several times in the past at the Factory Theater. What do you got, David, that you're wondering about?
Well, I have several sets of... They're McFarlane sports picks. They're like action figures for sports geeks. And I've got, like, the first, like, four full sets of each sport. So there's four sports, baseball, basketball, hockey, and football. And I've got the complete sets of, like, at least the first four. I don't know. I've got, like, maybe 100 or so different figures. They're all still in the packages, and I'm just trying to get an idea of what kind of value there is, and certainly an idea of the market, you know, where I might be able to go to, like, perhaps sell them.
Okay.
Well, the good news is it sounds like they're still in the original wrapping, and you haven't really played with them that much, so that's good, because it really, it's about condition, right? I would say you said you got four complete sets, maybe a couple $100 total?
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously there are some, what do they call them? They call them variants that some of the figures had, like, different colors jersey or had a football and don't have a football or something like that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Okay, Is there somewhere that someone can go to, you know, maybe sell those kind of things?
Yeah, that's kind of niche. I would look on eBay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe that simple. Yeah, could be that simple. Cool.
Thanks,
cool.
David.
David, thanks. Right. Hey, thanks
well,
for listening,
thank you, Michael.
Buddy. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay,
see you later. Thanks,
Nick. There you go. My old friend from the Factory Theater listening to me on the radio. That's cool.
Nice.
All right, we have a couple more here. Here's a text. 773 area code says, I have a panoramic picture of Soldier Field called the 21-yard line, signed by Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some of those before. It's great that you have both of those. You know, Sayers isn't signing anymore with Butkus. $150.
$150. That's not bad. That's not bad. So there was a story about this con man who almost got away with...
John Rogers.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that story. What happened there?
Yeah, oh, this guy was a sleazeball. So he's based in, I think, Alabama or Texas, somewhere south, I think Alabama. And he was basically using fake sports memorabilia that he forged or that he concocted to get bank loans and buy more properties and what have you, and pay down debt. He had a Heisman Trophy that he said was, I forget who, what player, but it was basically concocted, built by him.
You're kidding.
And he brought that to a bank, and the bank gave him like a couple $100,000.
Wow.
As collateral. So he used as collateral on a loan. And he was real bad. He was a con man. He's going to jail. He should be. But there, unfortunately, there were many people that were bilked out of money and their memorabilia. Some of it actually was real. Actually, here in Chicago, the George Brace was a very famous photographer many decades ago. He's obviously since passed. But his granddaughter inherited his extremely large photography collection. And she sold it to Rogers for, I think, $1.2 million. I think he paid her maybe $200,000 up front, and then over, like, every year he was supposed to pay her And then he was going to license these photos. He never did any of it. So he basically stole everything from her.
That's terrible.
And so she's involved in a lawsuit.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really terrible. Now, how often does this kind of stuff happen? How, I'm sure there are counterfeiters out there, the people who are trying to swindle other people. I mean, it happens in every sort of, you know,
field.
Yeah. But what, is it pretty common in the sports memorabilia field?
It's not as common as it was 15, 20 years ago. The FBI has done a really good job of eliminating that, especially with Operation Bullpen 15 years ago. And when I go to, let's say, a card show, I'll see FBI agents walking around. And people do a good job this day and age of reporting people that are unscrupulous to the FBI. And so when people think of the FBI, they don't really think of them as being involved with baseball memorabilia, but they are, for sure.
For sure, yeah. And how often are there, this is just a simple question, are there a lot of card shows every year?
No. About 20 years ago, there was a card show in like pretty much every city, at every hotel. But then with the advent of the internet, but especially eBay, that kind of killed it. Whereas a guy who was trying to collect a 500-card baseball card set, he only needed 25 cards to complete the set. He could wake up in the morning, topless, go to eBay, and buy all 25 cards with a click of a
button.
Instead
of going to a...
Exactly.
Yeah, so those cut down. But they still do them periodically.
Okay.
Tell everybody about, you have a Facebook Live mailbag. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, so I do that pretty much every Friday, where people during the week, they'll send me questions on Facebook or Twitter or email, they'll call. And what I do is I choose 4 or 5 questions every Friday, and I'll do a Facebook Live video, and I'll answer those questions. So, again, people from all over the country, they send me the questions, and I answer them live. And it's a pretty good form, and people watch it, and they send me questions, and they actually look forward to having me answer their questions.
And today is Friday, so do you know what time you'll be doing this? So people can
Probably between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. today.
So at some point between in the afternoon.
In the afternoon,
So you can do that. That's at your Facebook Live. And you at Facebook, are you at Baseball in the Attic?
It's at Baseball Attic.
At Baseball Attic.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, you can also follow you on Twitter and all that and all that good stuff. You're going to speak with the attendees of the Positive Coach at a luncheon? Positive Coach US at a luncheon?
Yeah. So I did that a couple hours ago.
Oh, you did that? That was last night.
That was Thursday afternoon.
Right,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Yesterday.
And funny, being here in Chicago, the Cubs are playing the Cardinals.
Yes.
Paul DeJong, who's the Cardinals shortstop, was there.
Oh, he was?
And talking to some of the young kids. There were a lot of young kids there, some from the Chicago Park District, and they were really excited to see a baseball player. He actually spent some, kind of grew up in Antioch, Illinois, which is kind of on the border of Illinois, Wisconsin. So he was happy that he's playing for the Cardinals. he said he's not really a Cubs fan.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
So that was fun, though.
It was fun. Yeah,
very, very cool. So you're keeping busy, which is good.
Yep.
And again, tell everybody again how they can contact you if they couldn't get through this morning.
Yep.
And they want something appraised or they're interested in.
Sure. They can call or text 312-379-9090, email michael@baseballintheattic.com, or on Facebook or on Twitter.
All right, there you go. So what are you looking forward to now? I mean, you got the what's the Cracker Jack thing again?
Next Thursday, which is the 24th or 25th. I'm losing track.
26th.
26th,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll be there in the afternoon speaking, and then, like I said, I'm going to kind of go to hotel room hopping and just kind of curious to see what people have.
Yeah. All right. Okay, cool. Hang on to your stuff, people. It might be worth something, and Michael can always help you out. Go to baseballintheattic.com for more information. Michael, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We'll get you back on at the end, and, you know, by World Series time, probably around that time. Cool?
Sounds great. Thanks,
Nick. Great. Michael, always a great guest. Michael Osaki of Baseball in the Attic. Baseballintheattic.com is the website, and he can help you out. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the news after this.